This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine Podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. Live from the heart of Atlanta, Georgia and beyond, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I am your lovable, for the time being, not so huggable mid-morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews. Lady of quite a few voices in her own right, Autumn Fisher. And the handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto.
And I hope that you and your fam had a good 4th of July weekend. It was fun, man.
Yeah, well, you said it was fun. Were we together? That was a weird way to put that. I hope you had a good time because it was fun, but you weren't with me. How do you know that I had? Seems like you were conflating your weekend and my weekend, which I'm not against, but I'm just saying that I think you want me. It's one of those things where you feel like somebody wants you to ask them the question, hey, yeah. Jared, how was your weekend? Did you have fun?
I did. I was out on Lake Lanier, went down to Margaritaville and watched the fireworks out there and had a good crew with us. We had a good old time out there.
Yeah, so you're all social distancing, mask never came down. I know how you kids are.
Of course.
Very, very, very responsible.
Waterproof masks, too.
Socializing, absolutely.
So you can swim in them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can swim in them. You get back out. It's great. They help you. And you can actually scuba. It's just scuba gear, really, is what it was, probably.
Everybody. Do they protect you from the brain-eating amoeba?
I saw that story. We got that one on the... Hey, if you're not scared enough by everything else that's going on, we got a brain-eating amoeba out there. And it wasn't the plague out of China. Some other word out of China from the old days.
That's bubonic plague out of Mongolia.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Every time you hear these plague stories... Okay, it's not 1650. It's not 1650. You get the plague, you go to the doctor, you don't got the plague no more. Okay, now if you're 90, you don't want to get anything. But for the rest of us, you get the plague in 2020. Okay, I am no epidemiologist, but I'm going to go on the record here before you get scared out of your wits. Although I'm not an epidemiologist, I will tell you this for a fact. Getting the plague in 2020, a whole lot better than getting the plague in 1620. I'm just saying that we have actually, well, the medicine has caught up. Oh, it's not even really, it's less about the medicine, the fact, oh, wait a minute, oh, we know what it is. We know what it is. So you got enough going on out there. I heard, I used the term fear porn, which I didn't invent, but I like the concept of think in your mind before you open up any page or go to any news or any 24-hour news network, or, you know, it's just fear porn. Keep that in your mind. Porn keeps people clicking, and when you're not in that mood, fear porn, when you go to the news, will keep people clicking. So did we get an open mic about that? Somebody was taking me to task for using the term fear porn. I know Autumn told me that somebody that was listening to the show and her kids kept hearing the word porn and asking questions about it, and she said, oh, he's saying corn.
I don't know. Grown-ups are just being silly, mispronouncing corn.
That's right. That's, well, you know, kids don't believe anything. They're not very bright. Not very bright. Especially I notice the younger they are, the less intelligent. People don't talk about this a lot, but...
Oh, corn.
Yeah, you never hear about a 7-year-old who comes up with some sort of scientific breakthrough. There's a reason for that. So we have the open mic.
Eric, I really like the term panic porn. It has a much better ring to it than fear porn.
Mm. Alliteration. I know that.
I like it. You know, those listener things or whatever. Alliteration is great. It's good.
Yeah, Clive Cliverson, my radio guru slash consultant, tells me
rough
always.
4th of July, Eric.
Really, most of the strip clubs are closed. Consultants.
Well, you could have a tent in your backyard and socially distance yourself. Pay enough for some of these ladies. They need work. Yeah.
You're helping. You're helping. It's like other people will help out with GoFundMe pages for some of their favorite bartenders and waiters and waitresses. You do this for your strippers, right?
I come to the backyard. We got a hot tub. Just put on a show. You get a little money. It's good.
Nobody those social distant lap dances.
Those are the best.
Which is not possible. You're waving at each other from across the room.
I pretend you sit on my lap. I have a mannequin that I pretend is you.
I'm on your lap and I'm wiggling around.
Look at that. It's like an audio book.
There's a $1 bill that millions of people have touched. Put that right there.
Thank you,
it's all very safe. I think out of Detroit, I read somewhere, I think it's in, if not the Detroit area, but I think somewhere in Michigan, there's a spike in the area. And they say, it's all at the strip club. If anybody was in the strip club, this idea that you could socially distance something like that, or New York City is always putting out recommendations for how to safely make love. I got news for you. You can't socially distance and make love. It's not possible. It's one precludes the other.
Some people can.
Well, those are few and far between. And who
Diamond in the plastic cage. Diamond in the plastic cage. Watch Diamond, please. There's going to be three dances for you right there in the plastic cage.
A plastic cage has taken over. So, aren't we all in our own little plastic cages? I want everyone to know that this being Tuesday, but the first show of the week, I did a lot of yelling at the mirror last night so that I wouldn't bring all the, I don't want to be like every other show where people go, well, I can't believe what's going on out there and it's just a bull. Not, I may agree with a lot of that, but I don't want my show to sound like ever. So I yell at the mirror and I get the cathartic thing out, the emotional thing out, and then we can go for all these different issues in hopefully a more objective, dispassionate way. Sometimes I get overwhelmed, but I'll try not to. Before we get to all the politics and insanity of the day, we have to mark some passings. And I have to say, my friend Jared Yamamoto, 31-year-old millennial, Charlie Daniels, everybody's heard of Devil Went Down to Georgia. So we have Georgia stuff today. So this kid knows so little about Charlie Daniels. He put the passing of Charlie Daniels into Georgia stuff.
Well,
because he lives in Georgia? No, because he had a famous song that had the word Georgia in it. But here's the great thing about Jared. Jared sends me a clip of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Now, the only thing missing from this clip is any violin solo or fiddle solo, whatever you want to call it. It's just the words. He sends me the clip with the words.
To Georgia.
Jared thought if you're going to take one clip from this song, it shouldn't be any of that silly music. Let's get to the story. That's the important thing. So let's play your clip that you sent out, The Devil Went Down. By the way, Charlie Daniels, the great Charlie Daniels, passed away yesterday at the age of 83. So give the clip that you sent me.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal.
Story.
When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what.
Oh, surely with a fiddle here.
I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too.
And if you care to take a dare,
I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul.
Oh, we're going to get the fiddle now. We're going to get the fiddle.
But I'll take your bet. You're going to regret.
It fades it out.
Right before it starts. That is a tease right there. That is a tease.
No fiddle. No fiddle. So I would like to add to that. Of course, the fiddling was a large part of that. This is what was made the song special, not the book. Now, I have a question. I'm forced Charlie Daniels, obviously, all you're going to hear is Devil Went Down to Georgia. But a million great songs. But as far as the Devil Went Down to Georgia, I've always wondered, is it wrong that I always thought the devil outplayed Johnny? I mean, does that mean I'm going to hell? I've always, when I listen to that song.
Oh, you just like that rock and roll, like, dun, chicka, dun,
yeah,
dun,
I always, dun, yeah. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, here, hey, don't think I don't have it. This is, because I have to look at myself. Does this mean I'm going to hell? Because, don't get me wrong.
Probably.
I was, like everyone else, I was rooting for Johnny. Yeah. But if you're asking me to rate the thing, then my inner Simon Cowell says, I have to tell you what I actually believe.
Dog.
I was a little.
And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss.
Here we go.
And he pulled the bow.
I think I messed that up.
It made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded.
I always thought this one was better. Get that bass thing on.
He cheated. He cheated.
He had the demons playing.
He can't have the demons in there. It was supposed to be Johnny versus the devil. That's why.
The fiddle off.
Here it comes.
Oh,
so you like
this. Yeah, but yeah. I'm not rooting for the devil. I just.
Yeah, really? The song should have been him like going like.
Yeah, like I don't see that Johnny was clearly the winner in this.
Yeah,
the devil.
Well, you
got to
play Johnny out of fairness. Play some Johnny.
I played Johnny earlier.
Now, why don't we do a poll? Let's do a Facebook poll.
Yeah. Clive Cliverson.
Are you for the devil?
Who do you like, the devil or Johnny?
But that's my way of saying rest in peace, the great Charlie Daniels. But we've lost also another great music maker. Not enough people are talking about this. More of that when we return.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
They have such a beautiful chemistry.
Making listeners laugh every day.
The world can use a little more of that these days.
9 to noon on 95.5 WSB. Atlantis News and Talk.
Yeah, Tim Andrews brought up Uneasy Rider. Great song by Charlie Daniels Band. Not just, he started out as the fiddle player for Marshall Tucker.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was in, I believe. He was in, somebody can check me on that, but I believe out of my brain of music facts, I think that one is in there correctly.
I can hear Jared.
First thing, Marshall Tucker. Marshall Tucker is an Australian runner from, you know, whatever he finds. If there's another guy named Marshall Tucker that comes up first on Wikipedia, we'll have no chance
Marshall
of finding
Tucker
out.
Marshall Tucker was a running back.
Yes, exactly. So, Uneasy Rider, that was a good. I want to name these off as we wish Charlie Daniels rest in peace, because all you got to hear is Devil Went Down to Georgia. But we lost another great. And I'm going to just be terrible with this name. Ennio Morricone. That's what I'm going with.
But Morricone.
All you need to know is he was 91, died in Rome. And he made this great music. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. This was in his head. If you weren't a musician, this would drive you insane. You'd be committed. You were here like, wow, wow, wow. In your head. Wow, wow. Now, this guy, they passed him over so often that they had one of those deals where they have to give you an honorary Oscar because nobody noticed in 1966. Like, oh, this is amazing. People will be whistling this for the rest of our lives. Who knows? And then, come on, this is awesome. The yelling. See, that's why musicians don't go crazy. Well, they do, but not as much as they would if they weren't musicians. He's got this stuff in his head. Go, go, go. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, it gets a little more pronounced there toward the end.
Wah, wah, wah. No, this is cool, this part. I don't think I've ever heard this part.
Oh, you gotta hear it through. Oh, it's
it's reminding
me
of Quentin Tarantino.
No, well, he was also, he did The Hateful Eight.
Right.
No. Quentin Tarantino reminds you of him.
Tarantino
was a babe in arms in 1960.
There we go.
That would just drive you crazy if you couldn't.
Yeah, Gene Stapleton do that?
Archie!
Archie! Archie! Archie! Archie! Archie! Archie! Archie!
And now Jared's got to go to Wikipedia and who's Edith Bunker. Edith Bunker is the Secretary of State of New Zealand. Oh, thank you. Whoever he finds named Edith Bunker.
Hey, listen,
somewhere.
I know about spaghetti westerns, okay? Listen, I wish you didn't know about that. And Clint Eastwood, thank you very much.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you've looked at all of them in the last minute.
Good job.
Yes,
I have
Clint
watched
Eastwood.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Come on now.
We've all watched. That's the point. And it's one of these things, even before all the actors just, bored the hell out of you with their political speeches. When I was a kid, I liked award shows because they seemed glamorous. You'd see all these stars. But I gave up on it a long time ago because they miss everything. I don't think the Beatles ever got a Best Album of the Year in the Grammys. This guy, Ennio Morricone, I know I'm butchering that. They had to give him a lifetime award, at some point, because God forbid that John Williams, maybe they take one of the 900 they've given him. John Williams gets nominated for an Academy Award when he accepts a job. after they call him, say, okay, part of it is we're going to nominate you, and if you're in it, you might win it. But they had to give this guy a lifetime one because they missed it. That's how these award shows always miss it. They had no idea back then in 1966, or whether it would have been the 67 Oscars. I don't even know if it was nominated. I would love to know what music won for that year that nobody has ever hummed or whistled ever again. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's something like, I don't know. There are a few others. It wasn't the Star Wars song in the cantina, that's for sure, because that didn't happen for another 10 years. We were dancing at the wedding over the weekend. I was actually dancing. I figured out what it is that makes me get on the dance floor at a wedding. I have to care. It has to be someone in my nuclear family. This is the first time I've been to a wedding where I really, really cared. Oh, no, except for Autumn's wedding. I believe I had broken my leg. No, I didn't. I didn't dance. I didn't dance at Autumn's wedding. I didn't care about your wedding.
Oh, right. Well, you just said you didn't, so you can't go back.
In so many words, maybe I did. But what I meant was you are my, you're the daughter that I never wanted, which means that you're kind of like my kid, but you're not really my kid. You have your own father. He does a fine job raising you in this world. I'm just like I'm the stand-in dad. Like, I'm the stunt dad. If anything should happen, back when her father used to have to go up to Philadelphia to play Santa Claus for like 2 months every year, I would step in if in need that Autumn would need a dad. But that's not the nuclear family. Sure. And don't think I haven't been there before.
PayPal
20,
me.
50. Can you imagine, why would you PayPal somebody $20? If I'm going to go through the problem.
Oh, you're right. Make it 100.
Just PayPal.
Let's make it worth it,
Yeah, yeah. I'll PayPal you 1,000. You're good. Yes. You're a nice person. I know that you'll.
Let me just send you the request through PayPal just so that you remember, okay?
All right, you do that. And I know it's going to be way. I know that someone like Autumn, she's just going to waste it on booze and. Whatever else her lifestyle has become, but I care. This is the thing, I care. They are hard times.
In these trying times, Autumn needs $1,000 for booze.
It's a weird thing. Yeah. It's a weird, drunk.
Bring this together. I need help.
Drunk alone.
I'll drive. I'm good.
Drunk together. Drunk alone. Alone drunk together. Hashtag that. Get it out there. Yeah, since I went to the wedding, now you know how I am, super sensitive. So I'm feeling it. Anytime anything happens, that could be it. And then I got to think, oh no, but so many other considerations. Is it the heroin? You don't know. Was it the wedding? Is it COVID-19 or the heroin?
See,
you got to look at your lifestyle. It could be your lifestyle before it's COVID-19. In these plague-ridden times, isn't that how this music sounds? COVID-19, we're all going to come together, alone, separately together. Hashtag separately together. We're all alone together. Atlanta, we'll get through this. Welcome back to the Von Hessler Doctor. So our first corrections, because I always get this wrong. So I've made this mistake before, which is the worst. I make the mistake, and then I don't learn from the mistake. You see this black eye? You guys are on Hangouts. I punch myself in the face when I don't learn, not the first time, but when I don't learn from a mistake, I punch myself several times right in the eyeball.
Do you do just this when you're yelling at the mirror, too, so that way you're self-inflicting?
No. I'm yelling at the mirror just for catharsis. I punch myself in the face only when I deserve it, which means I'm making a mistake for the second time, at least. The Beatles did win Album of the Year. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band won Album of the Year, the Grammys, and also the song, one song, I think, off of Revolver, one song of the year. But there's the Sgt.
Enough.
Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band won Album of the Year and Best Contemporary Album. What the hell was that? The whole idea of the Grammys is the stuff from last year. What's
we
not
were
contemporary?
Lacking new music that a lot of the old timers didn't like very much, like Frank Sinatra and the Andrews Sisters.
I see, Living Lennon. Well, thank you very much. So, okay, stop the open mics. I get it. I know. It happened. I messed up. The Beatles did, in fact, win a Grammy. And as long as we're talking music before we get to Georgia's stuff, my understanding is now, before I've even had a chance to watch this Hamilton, which I've been told is the greatest thing that has ever happened on a stage in the history of people or stages. That's basically been the review of Hamilton. But now there's hashtag cancel Hamilton.
Yes.
Not because you have African Americans playing white characters, because as we know from the sociologists, I know what the sociologists say. The oppressed class, it's so-called, can play parts of the oppressor class. So that's not a problem. The problem is hashtag cancel Hamilton is because apparently they're being accused of glorifying slave owners. I don't know that Hamilton actually was a slave owner, but I think he did the books or something. He was like,
during that time, so it's just
he was
alive. You know?
He did the books apparently for some slave owner type of people and businesses. Yeah. Yes, Jared,
I have an answer for that.
He was never considered an abolitionist, and his father-in-law sold slaves. So that's
right.
Why. So
and
now,
as
by
we
connection.
Know, as we know, America has thrived on this concept. The son is held accountable for the sins of the father. It's the opposite. That's why we're the most successful, because we were pretty much the first and still maybe only society where you were born not bearing the scars of things the people before you did. Like, you don't owe that guy $1,000 because your dad died. Your life is your life. But I get where we're going now. We're reversing that now. And so children are born. Well, most usually a child when you're born. Not many adults are born, but you know what I mean.
That guy Benjamin.
But that was a movie. That wasn't real. So the idea here to believe all the revolutionaries is a little baby, an infant, guilty. I'll leave that in your hands as to whether you think that is nonsensical or sensical. I may upset some other people listening to WSB, but original sin ain't my thing, either whether it's social or any other way. Nobody was born having to. It really is a religion, you know, if you really get into what's going on now. Being born white is not something you can get out of. It's an original sin, so you can't change it. You can only atone for it. Very interesting that the left, which is so secular, ultimately all these movements take on religious trappings, strangely enough. So
religious trappings,
underpinnings.
Ooh.
As it were. Yeah, I'm
subtext.
Using I'm pulling out the big words.
Go easy on it.
Okay, I know. This is my radio guru / consultant tells me that the audience is too dumb. He says, don't get ahead of them. I disagree with that completely, but he says if you use big words, you know, people will feel as if they're being left out. So I have to watch that. Yes, Jared.
So with this latest revelation, are you going to watch Hamilton now? I mean,
well, here's
canceled.
The thing. It's on Disney Plus, and I have Disney Plus for some reason. No. It's on Disney Plus, right?
Correct.
I don't have Disney Plus. I have Apple Plus. I got it confused.
Oh.
So if I can, though, I will say
I do. You want my username and password?
Yeah, just so that I can watch Hamilton, because this is the week where I'm going to watch it and I'm going to give my judgment. Now, it's going to be very difficult for this thing to live up. First of all, the stuff that I've heard, we've talked about this before, is like the third grade math teacher who decides to try to make it cool for the...
I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm here to say I'm going to teach you history in a brand new way.
Yeah, that gets... Yeah, go ahead. What is with the guy?
I am not throwing away my shot. Yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
So it's amazing.
My father's father, and I'm not like my father. My father worked harder. Father.
Yeah. And I don't own slaves, and come on.
Yeah, I do the books for a guy, but that doesn't mean I like slavery. It's okay. Don't cancel me.
It's just absurd to me that, you know, it just 2 years ago, this thing was receiving so much acclaim that it just, even if I hadn't seen it, it's just over the top. Nothing could be that good. It's like the $400 steak. Yeah, was it good? Yeah. But no steak is worth $400. There's a point where even things that are good can be overhyped and overrated. When you say something's overrated, by the way, it doesn't mean you say it sucks. It's terrible. You're just saying it's overrated. Things that are really good can still be overrated. People get carried away. And we've gone from that to cancel. And I think he's already sort of like going, hey, I know, I'm sorry. Stop saying you're sorry. Hey, to anybody listening, my name is Eric Von Hessler. And I'm not sorry about anything on this particular day because most of you don't know me in a way that I would have to apologize to you. There are people on this planet that I do owe apologies to and many people that I have given apologies to. But it's a weird concept. It's all based on my actions, that I can only speak for my actions. I don't apologize for the actions of others, not because I'm a good person or a bad person, because I'm a logical person. I can't own the actions of others, unless I'm an accomplice in some way, where I said, hey, yeah, go cheat that guy out of some money or something. Otherwise, I just have to stick with reason and logic, and it's lasted for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I wonder if it's going to last longer than this moment. I don't have to wonder. It is. So I'm going to stick with reason.
You're complicit, Eric.
And logic. Yeah. Those are words you don't understand that you're just throwing. These are words from the left that I just go. As soon as people say them to me, my brain turns off. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I keep smiling, you know. But if I hear sustainable, brains off. If I hear complicit, brains off. I'm not interested in speaking to parrots. Parrots don't know what they're saying. Parrot doesn't have context.
Silence equals death.
Yeah, you heard that, and now you're repeating it. If you come at me as a human being, then you've got to have some sources. You have to have done a deep dive. You need to be able to answer at least 3 deep questions that I'll have for you after you give me your argument. I'm not interested.
Sins of the father.
Yeah. By the way, this goes for the left and the right. For people, hey, he's a rhino. Out. I'm not interested in speaking to parrots.
Does the sound always come with it?
Yeah. No, because I'm very nice to people. And quite often, you know, people are cool, except for I disagree with that parrot style of thinking that they have. You should not make a statement if you cannot answer 3 good, solid questions about why you believe that. Now, it's America. Don't get me wrong. You can make those statements all day long. I'm just saying, if you want to be thought of as somebody who's worth listening to, so the way I should put it is, you are not worth listening to in any of your arguments unless you can answer 3 solid, deep questions about why you think that. If you cannot do that, the ideas that you're espousing are illegitimate. They may not be totally illegitimate, but you can't back them up. Therefore, you shouldn't be the one out there doing it. You may have a perfectly good argument. You just don't know how to back up your arguments. Leave it to those who can back up their arguments to make the arguments, actually, rather than just parroting, which is what most people are doing now, things that they've heard somewhere else. Now that it's this late, I say, let's do this.
The research is in. And after a careful calculation, it's called Georgia Stuff. Georgia,
I like to start these segments 30 to 60 seconds before we have to go to a break.
Well, the research says that's good.
the research says people love a good tease. We hear it all the time in the research. It's just tease. Clive Cliver says, told me, it doesn't even matter if you follow up when you come back. It's just teasing. People want to know.
I like a good tease every now and then.
I know.
You eventually got to have a payoff or it's not worth it.
I got what you're saying. Yeah. Perhaps we could squeeze in one Georgia stuff headline.
All right, Atlanta Mayor Bottoms announced that she and some in her family have tested positive for COVID-19, guys.
Yeah, she says she doesn't know where or how, which I'm beginning to believe that everybody's got it. I'm beginning to believe, because she had, well, she says she had no symptoms, but I guess she did have a headache. I guess her husband is, well, you have her speaking about it, right?
Yeah, she went out with Chris Cuomo last night on CNN.
Surprised. Well, hold on a second. One child.
Well, she finally didn't go on Fox. I guess she felt like she had. You know, usually our mayor is Fox OANN. You're telling me she's branching out now. She went to CNN. Well, that's good to see. All right.
We tested positive. One child has tested positive. Oh. So, you know, hopefully it won't get much worse than this. My symptoms have been like my seasonal allergy symptoms. I've had a headache the past few days and just, you know, a little dry cough, but that's not unusual because I have that with my allergies, which are just about year round in Atlanta. And my husband literally has been asleep since Thursday.
So we wish her best of luck, obviously. I'm encouraged that she's not totally sick. I'm 56. She's 50. So I like the idea that because I feel like since I'm 56, I feel very strongly that if I get it, I won't die because I just look at the death rates are just plummeting from this. But I don't want to. I would rather be asymptomatic. Like, I can't stand the flu even. So for some reason, I'm like, well, she's 50. She's asymptomatic. Hopefully it stays that way. Wish her the best of luck. We have more news taking place in the state of Georgia, I believe,
so
when we
much.
Return. See, that's a tease, Clive Cliverson. I'm keeping them. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. All right, we don't have a lot of time here, so I do want to speak to this since we're in Georgia stuff. Obviously, a lot of violence in Atlanta over the July 4th weekend. Well, there's even saying innocent before 8-year-old girl is redundant. You should be able to say 8-year-old girl. Innocent young girl was killed. More than 20 injured in multiple incidents. Just a lot of chaos going on in Atlanta. In the fallout after the protesting and everything that's going on. And I'm not saying this because I have to say it or whatever. Yes, obviously, most protests are peaceful. But when you're the mayor, your job is to make sure that they stay peaceful. Do you have the her statement following all of this? Because I don't like the tenor. I don't like the I want to hear a little more officialness, a little more like this is going to stop for one reason, because I'm the mayor of this city and I've decided it's going to stop. And if you don't like it, you can get rid of me in the next election. I'd like to hear more of that. But this is what we heard.
This random Wild Wild West shoot 'em up because you can, it's got to stop.
No, listen, appeal. First of all, it doesn't have to stop. It's your job to stop it. Appealing to the moral conscience of violent criminals is not a tactic that has much success in history. This idea it's the part that's missing here with all this revolutionary fever taking over big cities in America. Just exactly what's the plan to get the criminal class to cooperate with your revolutionary utopia? You may ask for what's been going on in Atlanta, what went down in Seattle. What is the plan? Defund the police? Is part two defunding gang activities? What is the plan? Or is utopia just supposed to be so inviting that everybody will drop all their criminality? Listen, if utopia was possible, it would have happened already. It hasn't for a reason. It's not possible. Mayor, do your job. Being mayor isn't all CNN, MSNBC, and rainbows. Sometimes you have to make decisions. Hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. You know, in all these stories, you know, what's life going to be like after the lockdown and what's the world going to be like after COVID-19. We have a successful vaccine, you know. Will we have less traffic because more people have learned that they can work from home? I know I certainly, I told my wife I can do my show from anywhere in the world. And for the rest of my life, that's kind of what I pretend, what I plan on doing. And I wouldn't have found out had I not gone through this situation. But I think of the things that maybe aren't as important, but still, I'd like to throw them out there. COVID-19, does it equal the death of the buffet in the future of America? This is something that I wonder. I'm not going to say that no one is talking about this, but damn it. Sorry, strong language necessary. Damn it. Not enough people are discussing this. This needs to be fully debated. We have entire chains of restaurants that are based on the buffet, and asking them to change exactly what they're all about. I mean, all of a sudden they have to hire waitresses and come take your order and deliver them. A lot of these buffet places, they'll take your order, but you got to get up and do the hard part. So that's a big change. So this is something else. Look, I know you've got a lot on your plate, so to speak, but there's one more that I throw out at you, and I don't mean to overwhelm you. And as far as nerves and stress goes, I certainly hope this isn't the straw that breaks the camel's back. But one more thing. COVID-19, does it equal the death of the buffet? I believe we still have some Georgia stuff, stories, and we're going to end some headlines. What do you say we mix them together in a headline-y Georgia stuffy thing?
You know, so I think Clive Cliverson would love us to mix in some of the local content and some of the national content.
If it weren't for COVID, Clive Cliverson would be face down on a strip club floor. But he is actually listening, so I want to do everything I can to keep my radio radio consultant happy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Street racers blocked the Peachtree Street overpass over I-85.
Where the train is.
Right by the station. Honestly, it's right around the corner from the station.
And so, with all these different things, you keep seeing these stories that the street was shut down, protest, this kind of, is it drifting that goes on?
Yeah.
Do donuts in the middle.
Well, that's how the stuff on Edgewood started on Saturday, is there's a lot of cell phone video where people were drifting, and one car was drifting and did a couple loops and then lost control, hit another car, and then that's when the gunfire started because somebody
hit because that's the obvious result. You know, somebody hit my car, let me start shooting. What? Yeah, that's usually like your next reaction. So we know that morons in cars are a problem. This is what I don't understand. How is it so easy to shut down a street? I don't even know how to do it. I've had to get a ball out of the middle of the street before and found it very treacherous. Oh, sorry,
car.
It's kind of a weird thing where I don't want to say I respect it, but it's like one of those things where you see a criminal who's really devious. You go, the guy's good at what he does.
Yeah, but you're a little impressed.
Yeah, I don't get this confidence where you just walk out and say, hey, all right, this street is closed. Have you ever seen it done? Do 10 people walk out at one time and block everything? How is that done?
Well, so Edgewood has been closed off, at least since I've been out there, for probably the last 5 years. They'll close it off on Friday and Saturday, and they'll just put cars at the end of it so that way people can't get around it. But for the most part, they're not drifting down there. I'm not sure.
When you say they, are you talking about officials of Edgewood blocking?
No, not officials. Just people that have blocked off.
You know, there's a one-off kind of thing in this world, right? Where in your neighborhood, if something happens once, it happened once. The second time in a neighborhood, if I bought a house, the second time people who are not a part of the city government shut down a street, call in the realtor. We're gone. You can't live in places that are not properly governed or policed. I'm sorry. You're asking for a world of trouble. Even you, Jared, 31, millennial, I love the Beltline. Every morning, you wouldn't believe what I saw out my window today. How do they do that? They're still, it's not going to be long. Excuse me. It's not going to be long before you decide to just get out. And then, and a lot of people will do that. And people are going to go. The very first thing you should look for is a community that supports its police department. Usually for the best piece of your life, I got a dry cough. Now I'm the next one. But
you're worried.
On my way down, I want to tell you how to buy a house and where to buy a house. And I would say one
move
of the best things that you could
COVID.
Do. We used to talk about this on the best thing you could do is find a place that is well policed. Well policed means well policed. Not that people are harassed all the time. It means well policed. That's where people are going to gravitate to. If this continues, we are. You think we're a 50-50 nation now? We're 50-50, but we're all mingled up together in big cities and everything. We'll become really, 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 really more of that. I gave you like three or four reallys there because I believe it. It's going to go because people will, if they can, if they have the means, they will move to communities that have strong police departments and good policing. And who will be left behind are people who can't afford to do that, not people who don't want to do that, people who don't have the means to do that. And you're going to end up really with two Americas then. Because basically, cops are going to go get better money and better treatment from communities that support cops, and living in those communities is going to be better all the way around. Jared is 31. He's a millennial. He's in the middle of it. He doesn't know how close he is. I'm 56, and I know how close he is because every day starts out with a new horror story of what happened within four blocks or six blocks, and that's how... That's how it all happens. That we'll end up where large cities are, you know, run by some sort of collectivist community outreach group, and everyone will leave because community organizers may be very good at some things. Standing up to criminals is not one of them. It's not really in their resume. And by the way, the fact that people see the gun, although it is rarely used, dissipates a lot of house party like problems with neighbors and things like that. All right, okay. The guy with the gun says, I got to turn my music down. I guess I need to turn my. The community organizer shows up with a clipboard and request, tries to convince me that it would be a better idea for everyone else on the block if I turn my music down. I don't think that's going to work so much until somebody else in the neighborhood decides, well, I've got a gun, I'll go confront them. And then what you tried to do to reduce violence actually ends up creating violence. Yes, Jared Yamamoto.
Now, if you had been leaving the station on Saturday night, let's say you came to WSB on Saturday night and you pulled out, took a ride on Peachtree, and you saw these folks street racing and doing donuts and stuff. I mean, you would have entered your Kia in there, right? You would have just started spinning around. Drifting.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a South Korean vehicle, so it's made for the drifting. I've of course done all the. I mean, if you want to drift, then go do it where it's proper to do it. You know, I mean,
Edgewood.
It's Commerce, like at the Dragway or Atlanta Motor Speedway. I think that once a year they do it. I mean, but this idea that we own the streets, I shouldn't have to say this. No individual owns the streets. Do people understand how this works? I don't care who you are, whether you're the richest redneck in rural land or whether you're a politically minded person in the inner city. None of us has the right to point to a street and say, I own that. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. You don't have the right. In fact, a street belongs to no individual. I'm a capitalist. I'm an individualist. But the one collective thing in me is what I know. We pay taxes because we all own the streets.
I don't know. I don't know, Eric. I own my Target.
Yeah, you own your Target.
Ooh,
you'll
that
sign.
Target down the street from me in these suburbs, that's my Target.
It's what they say in their chant. Whose streets? Their streets. So you don't have a leg to stand on.
Well, I don't have a leg to stand on, but I've got tax money to stand on.
Yeah, did you hear their chant?
On. Yeah, well, I missed the chant. There's a lot of, I mean, I get really, like, I will say this. I think that the Democrats and the left are probably peaking months early. Because I just don't think that a whole lot of Americans are into the next 4 months at every turn being told just what a horrible country that they live in. These sporting leagues are going to come back very soon, and the social messaging. So every time, hey, NBA, enjoy the bubble in Orlando. I'm skipping it. I don't need a lecture every time, especially from people who don't give a damn about what China's doing. Oh, no, it's not that you don't give a damn. You're actively supporting a dictator who's subjugating free people. So there's a double standard that happens there that makes me just completely walk away from the NBA. But I just, you know, as badly as Trump's doing, and I can get into all the nonsense that he's doing for no good reason, it just seems to me that I could make a couple commercials of Joe Biden blowing up Mount Rushmore and win this election. I don't think four more months of this is going to lead to more support. I really think it's possible that they're peaking too soon. That doesn't let the president off the hook. He's picking a fight with everybody. Republicans. Now he's picking a fight with NASCAR. Does this guy have enough people to fight that are natural enemies? Why does he have to fight with people who should be allies? More on all of this. Moron being the operative word there, when we return. So, my understanding is that Herman Cain is getting better, showing progress. Is that true, Jared?
Yeah, I've been texting him a little bit throughout the weekend. He seems to be doing much better than I guess, Friday. Friday was really bad, but now he's doing much better, which is good news.
And so we wish him the best of luck. I mean, you notice that, because I read these news reportage is so bad. You know, the headlines are as if they know that Herman contracted it at the rally. Maybe. I don't. But the headlines, they have a clever way. Herman Cain comes down with after attending. So they don't. They put it together in your mind. They don't necessarily, because they know that we don't know. We don't know exactly how he got. Maybe it was that way. Maybe. But the headlines are just, oh, well, we know. So somehow the headline writers know, because it fits. You know, I hate using the term narrative because I feel hacky. But at times it does have to be used. It fits the narrative. He's Republican, so it fits the narrative. But you know, have you noticed that really, if you look around, most of the people in this, we won't call it a second wave, whatever, the spike that's going on, are young, and a lot of it is in California. A lot of it is young. A lot of it is young Democrats, leftists. I see a headline here: gay beach goers at New York's Fire Island spark outrage for partying en masse. It's like, if we could drop the 50-50 political nonsense, we might notice, oh, people are a lot the same. People are doing this. California is almost all the new cases over the last couple of days. That's young people. California and Florida, what do they both have? Sun and beaches. An attraction to young people. But the coverage is always, well, that's a little bit of a thing, but if a Republican gets it, that's a big thing. In reality, it's going to be difficult to convince young people to stay inside on a beautiful sunny day when there's a beach 3 miles down the road. If you want to do something about what's going on, you might want to open your eyes and deal with reality. You are not going to keep young people from sniffing around one another, making out, and taking that to its fruition. Okay? If your plan is you're going to tell young people not to make love for the next 2 years, I've got news for you. Your plan is going to fail, because nothing has stopped that ever in the past in history. So I would like it better if we dealt with spiking areas and would have, importantly from a federal point of view, extra equipment and things that can be rushed, triage-like, into regions where it may be needed. And the most important thing, as far as that's concerned, is, are the hospitals being overwhelmed? I'm not seeing stories saying overwhelmed yet. I'm seeing stories saying near capacity in a couple of places. But I'm not seeing overwhelmed yet. But if we're getting near capacity, I'd like to be able to rush into these areas the things that we talked about months ago. Ventilators, which aren't being used as much anymore, but ventilators, masks, hospital gowns, all the things that are needed to protect healthcare workers. If we could just open our eyes and try to solve problems, but we don't do that. Everything is political. So on one side or the other, the immediate outcome needs to help me either get reelected or elected. That is the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh priorities. Somewhere around 8 or 9 would be actually solving problems. And I've said this before. America is a constitutional republic / democracy. Choose which one of those flavors you like. America always deserves the leadership it has. And the leadership it has right now on both sides is the worst of my lifetime. So stop pointing at them. Start looking in the mirror. You don't need term limits. You don't need anything of that kind. You have always had the power to decide that you were going to elect smart, reasonable, objective-minded people who like to solve problems. You've had that power forever. You abdicated. You threw that away. You decided that wasn't important because there's one issue that you vote on that for most other people comes in sixth or seventh. You know, if you're on the left or you're on the right. The most important thing to you is sixth or seventh for somebody else. So the idea of electing a unifier, and you can't even use that word anymore, right? That's political. I'm talking about Merriam-Webster's definition of unifier. Did you know that you can be a unifying candidate and politician and still have principles? Did you know you could be a unifying politician and not be selling out? I guess I shouldn't be talking to the politicians. I'm talking to you. You're the ones who have decided to turn the keys over to this bunch. So really, it's on you and it's on me. America always deserves the representation it has. Before we get to Tech Tuesday, there's one story in particular we haven't covered yet, and it's just because I got to learn how to pronounce this pimp to the billionaires name. I've been able to avoid this forever, this Jeffrey Epstein lady. Ghislaine? Is it Ghislaine? I guess that's what she's accused of. Is it Ghislaine?
Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. What is it?
Isn't it Ghislaine?
Ghislaine? Is that what it is?
Maxwell.
Like yeah, just say Maxwell. Lady Maxwell.
Maxwell. She's like a pimp for a billionaire. Right? That's what that's what she's being accused of. That she got all the girls and everything. Mm. All right. Well, listen, we'll just call her Ms. Maxwell. Ms. Maxwell. Ms.
Max.
I like when I went Ms., it made me go Mags. So Ms. Maxwell. That's
my third grade teacher, Ms. Maxwell.
Oh, really? Was she a pimp? Was she a pimp for billionaires? Or
yeah, did she ever try and groom you?
I did sense a little bit of a grooming going on, but now it all makes sense.
She had an elderly lady she wanted you to meet. All right, let's do this.
Tech Tuesday with Greg Russ.
Yes, Greg Russ. Greg, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing all right.
Well, hello to you. I'm glad you are doing all right. Did you have a fine...
I didn't sleep.
You didn't sleep at all.
Well, I slept a little bit, and I was up by 4:30. Just really beating myself up over... I had a meeting yesterday at work, one of these Zoom meetings with like 40 people on it. Mm-hmm. Look, I joined... This is what's ridiculous. I joined the show. How many people are listening? The show does very well, right?
Yeah, we got 55 billion people on any given time.
So we're in this meeting, and I'm just speaking, and in the middle of it, I'm starting to get really nervous, and I'm not breathing anymore because I'm starting to think about the fact there's 40 people watching me.
No.
And you go to this point in your brain where you have to keep speaking. You're like, I can't give up. I got to keep going, but I have no clue what I said. I have no idea what I said.
You know what it is? It's I always call it like you get to a certain point, and the bridge is out. You just, if I could just have this one piece of information that would get me from here to there, I'd be just fine.
Like you have and to press like, the gas instead of slow down so that you'll make it across the gap.
And you know it's, you kind of feel like it's going to happen. It's like you've glanced up and seen that maybe the bridge is out, but you convince yourself if I keep on driving / talking, I'll be fine. The bridge will show up just in time. I'll get across the river. Everything will be okay. So did you have a meltdown or you just got through it and you don't think you made any sense?
I think it was probably fine. It's just because there's a lack of recollection. I have no clue.
Yeah.
Because you just have to hold it together. And by the time I got to the end, though, I feel like because the breathing wasn't happening, the last word just kind of seeped out.
You probably started getting that Dick Nixon flop sweat coming off of your forehead.
It is so ridiculous.
You know, you always can I tell people something? Like, I had to give a speech over the weekend or whatever, and you don't want to be, I know this wasn't a speech, but you don't want to be so connected to your notes that you're not real. But bullet points are a good thing. And if you're doing a Zoom thing, you could have just like five or six, you know, in a row. I'm starting here, I'm going there, whatever. And if you just see the bullet points, it will usually jog up the rest of what you need or where you are going for that. So that's my life hack for you. Bullet points in your notes. And then you, at least when you start sweating like that, you can at least look down and go, okay, my next point was, it had something to do with this. I'll go there and see. I hope you've learned your lesson, Greg Rose.
That way you don't wake up in the middle of the night and think, you stupid. Can't continue the rest
horrible.
Of our thoughts on this.
You don't deserve the great technology that brings you the possibility of a Zoom meeting. You don't deserve it. Well,
you
I agree
deserve
with that.
Greg. Life.
You know, here's
That's
the good
where it
thing.
Went.
Wow, here's the good thing. almost every criticism you thought of yourself over, I've known you since you were 19, you're like 38 now. At some time or another, I've probably thought the same thing about you. But I moved on, and you will as well. So give us some Tech Tuesday stories.
Well, earlier you said, and you haven't spoken about this, but earlier you were talking about keeping young people from making love, as you so gently put it, was impossible.
In my day, we used to refer to it as making love.
Sniffing around each other.
That's sweet.
Yes.
That's sweet. Well, I have a way that you can keep at least some of these people from making love. You cancel Dragon Con, which is exactly what happened. Dragon Con has been canceled, at least in person this year. It ties to tech because it's being replaced by a virtual version.
Okay. Dragon Con. First, Jared earlier this morning before we got on was like, oh, I was hoping for that one. Look, I got news for you. We may be able to pull off a sports league here or there with no one in the crowd, things like that. These kind of convention style events, forget it until there's a good vaccine. I'm sorry. We're just not going to – a city of Atlanta is going to go, well, we can have one event where thousands of people are canoodling. It's not going to happen that way.
But what about the panels?
Hey, listen, they're going to have the panels on Zoom, and here's a good – Greg Russ is one of the featured speakers, so that ought to be – that ought to turn out just great.
Fine.
Watch Greg Russ get nervous in the middle
to
of
see you there this year. Yeah.
Well, we could do a virtual thing, you know, because I have
YouTube.
Zoom,
except these people already do virtual things. This is their whole life. It's everyone's life now. But usually,
well, this guy's never done anything beyond virtual. I know that she is really into him.
I have tried a little.
No, look, she's obviously into you, man. I mean, I don't know what it takes.
Oh, man. So,
yeah.
But we're going to meet up, and we had this really good thing going because she's going to be.
Yeah, you've met up for the last 3 years at Dragon Con. Now is the time to, you know,
we've been
make
playing
your move.
Fortnite together, even though it's kind of cringe, but like.
She's going to be Captain Marvel, and I was going to be Iron Man. And then,
dude.
Look, you make
dude, hold on, dude.
Yeah.
Dude. Not you.
Oh.
Dude, him. Dude, she's into you, man. You gotta be a little more forceful. A little more. She's into you. She's letting you know that she wants you to.
Why don't you come to Des Moines?
I mean, I don't know if I should travel. Could we
oh,
meet?
It's safe. I've been social distancing for 17 years.
Okay, that's so funny.
Perfect.
Me too.
He's no danger. All right, Greg, I cut you off, which means you're probably going to hire a hitman on me. So what were you going
to
say?
Yes, it's already the hit. I went to the dark web. It still exists. I put out
already
there.
He's already hired the hitman to take me out.
I know your address. I'm sending the person.
Yes,
I was going to say they make fun of this, but Autumn was crushed by this because she loves Dragon Con.
So do I.
Her chance to. Okay, Jared. Yeah, when I texted this last night, just checking to make sure that you know, I was like, hey, did you hear Dragon Con's canceled? I figured you did, but Jared's like, oh, so sad. This is very upsetting.
Oh, it's a sad
upsetting.
Day in America.
For you, Jared, it's upsetting. See, Autumn dresses up as like a Kikiso Sadamatsu, which is not a real character. I just made that up, but it sounds like a character from some kind of Japanese anime that a person would dress
nonsense.
Up as.
Yeah.
Jared, though, what do? You go down there and you sip some beers and stare creepily at the crowds?
I have different costumes. Last year I was Ash Ketchum from Pokemon, and then I was a Dalmatian, and I had Cruella DeVille holding me on a leash the entire time.
What the hell's the matter with you? What's wrong with you?
She whipped you.
Yes. So we have,
was Corella your wife, the lovely Maria Yamamoto?
That'd be my girlfriend, Christina. Yes, she was Cruella. So yeah, we love DragCon.
Is that it's, you know, it's like back in the hotel room.
Excuse me. Exactly. By the way, Autumn, when you see something like that and you're at Dragon Con and it's two good looking people that are doing this, all you're seeing is foreplay. That's all you're seeing. Like the whole world is just part of foreplay, which, you know, hey, look, it's fine, but not when we got the COVID-19 going around. We can't sanction your Swiss hotel foreplay. Yes.
I'm sorry I go after you, Jared. In my mind, even someone like me, I was never really into this kind of stuff, comic books or anything that would, in my mind, allow me to be a welcome presence at Dragon Con. And I know the nerd culture has become the mainstream culture, but Jared being there, in my mind, is one of those guys that the original people are like, oh, God, this is done. This
it's
is
done.
Ruined.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
guy's
now,
here.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
finished.
Yeah. Frat boy showed up. It's over. It's over.
There's an SEC fan. Get out of here.
I call you a wait a minute. You're showing a picture, but you don't even look like you're in any kind of costume.
I'm dressed up as Brock here. Brock from Pokemon. Like Tina is Misty, and then we found other Pokemon trainers while we were there last year. Had a great time. But Dragon Con's a fun time.
That's Halloween. I mean, it's really just like a second Halloween.
It's pre-Halloween.
I don't like Halloween. Yeah, I don't like Halloween.
Exactly.
I don't like Halloween. You know that. I mean, I liked it as a kid because it's a children's holiday. As an adult, I never liked it. You go to parties and, you know, women that you don't, you know, they got all these this makeup on, and they forget somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning that the breath is starting to go. So the breath is starting to go south. You've got the alcohol, gin, vermouth, melting makeup, and then they're all over you. And it's like, hey, we're not each other. Just freaks me out. Freaks me out. By the time you're 12 years old, that should be your last Halloween that you really enjoy. It's a children's holiday. So, Greg, I know you agree with me on this one because you're a misanthrope, so you're not going to get into Halloween, I wouldn't think.
No, it's also because I feel like I had the best costume I ever had when I dressed up as Tony Clifton. I matched it perfectly. Yeah. I found the suit.
You did. You did.
And
a lot of people may not know who that is, but you may have had to explain to a lot of people who it was.
Are you a Vegas singer or something? Are you Elvis? What are you?
Yeah, Andy Kaufman's alter ego. You may have to let, after you knock on the door, so who are you? I'm Andy Kaufman's alter ego.
Surprisingly, I think it was around the time that there was...
The movie was out? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit after that, but people knew. Surprisingly, more people than you would expect knew. But it came together so perfectly. I even cut my own hair and used spirit gum to create sideburns, so it was my actual hair on my face. Mm-hmm.
Wow, you went all
the way. I was never going to match a quality, so I just gave up. That was at the end of it for me.
So what you
go out
what
on
you
top?
Went, also, it's a guy who's always insulting people, so it gave you license for one night to call people names, which is probably the reason you really enjoyed it. Yeah. We have another yes.
Well, I do think it's important to go out on top. I would like to say if I were Neil Armstrong. I don't think Neil really wanted the fame. I would have stayed on the moon because the only reason to go back is to get the fame and the notoriety. And in my mind, I would have thought, I'm not topping this ever. I'm just staying.
Going to be the first guy who dies on the moon.
Buzz, he goes back because he wants the attention. He wants everyone plodding. But Neil.
And then the other guy that didn't even get to stand on the moon. Did they draw lots for that? Like, did he know? Yeah, you're going to go all the way to the moon, but you're not getting on the moon. Did that guy ever go back? The guy in the module, did he ever go back and did he ever get to walk on the moon?
No.
Well, just seems like a long way to go. Talk about so close and yet so far away.
Irreverent.
Entertaining.
Gut-busting.
Very funny. And doesn't toe any party line.
I think it's a great show.
The Von Hessler Doctrine on 95.5 WSB. Atlanta's news and talk.
Well, I forgot to brag, Greg. You know, this show now has put two radio stations out of business. Old Ben Shapiro. Yeah, Ben Shapiro couldn't take on the Von Hessler Doctrine. Sorry.
It's not that I couldn't take on the Von Hessler Doctrine. It's the Von Hessler Doctrine. It doesn't really say anything. If you listen to my show, you can find out a lot of things because I know a lot and I say a lot. I say two things at a time.
This is the mark
of my podcast. Okay, yes.
This is the mark of true success. destroying other people's livelihoods means yes. that you're doing it.
That's how it works. Well, I usually don't. See, I don't even know. I think Ben Shapiro was up against this. I don't know. I don't know.
No, we were up against Glenn Beck.
He's gone too now. Okay, Glenn Beck is in. So I never know who. I don't listen to the competition. I never have. Because, first of all, many of them are my friends, and I know how this is going to end. Not well for them. And they're friends. So I try not to roll around in it. But the fact is, basically, this show has put two radio stations out of business. And if you're still out there and you're still in business, we're coming after you. I will not be satisfied until we are the only thing on the radio. Nothing else, because we've just put every other radio. No music, no nothing.
Come on,
no,
music put on the radio. How dated is it?
Yeah, it's called Spotify. I mean, what's that cost a month, for heaven's sakes? Greg Russ, there was a great stirring Tech Tuesday. It makes
well,
me...
Yeah, I had so many stories.
I know. It makes me... you came very prepared. The Tech Tuesday was so good, it makes me want to be put into a coma and brought to again at 9 a.m. next Tuesday, because I just can't wait for the next Tech Tuesday. But we'll all have to wait. Thank you, Greg Russ, for a rousing Tech Tuesday.
Thank you.
Hour 3 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Before we get to the new our next news stories, I didn't want to jump into this. So the NFL is saying now, I feel like, I don't know, or they are debating the idea of having the black national anthem along with the national anthem. Now, first of all, the black national anthem is a song, Lift Every Voice and Sing, that has been around for a very long time. And problematically was first performed for a celebration of Abraham Lincoln, who was on Mount Rushmore. So there could always be, there's always trouble lurking somewhere. It's a beautiful song, and I don't think it's a song that people anywhere would disagree with. It's interesting, as I brought up about the I Have a Dream speech, if people actually go and read it, there is a linking together of destinies, not this let's throw out history thing that's going on right now. In the I Have a Dream, you know, it's a promissory note, the Constitution's a great document. You just forgot to include everybody. So the whole thing was, let's all get in on this, not let's throw away the document because we were disenfranchised from the beginning. But enfranchisement, everybody should be covered under this. If you look at Dr. King's speech, it's a lot more than I Have a Dream, which was really the rallying cry for the last part, you know, to a good speech maker. It's more about the Constitution was a promissory note. We've noticed that we don't have enough funds in the account, and we're here to cash the check. That's really what the I Have a Dream speech theme is about. And the so-called black national anthem, which is Lift Every Voice and Sing, if you read it, is the same kind of thing. It's not about let's throw away everything. It's about enfranchisement. We want to be a part of this. It ends with true to our God, true to our native land. So I think it's a beautiful song. I don't think anybody that's not crazy, if they read the words to it, would be against it in any way. It's, of course, going to be controversial if it starts being juxtaposed with the national anthem, because that in and of itself says we're not one people. And I think most people of good hearts want to become one nation. And just the concept that we have two national anthems in and of itself will be controversial. We'll see how people deal with that if it happens. But I will say this. I agree with sports writer Jason Whitlock, who says, if the NFL players stand for the black national anthem and then kneel for the Star Spangled Banner, it will be the worst thing to ever happen to the NFL in its entire history, as far as the fan base goes. Inclusion is where we all need to be going. But it's this concept of, well, now we have to exclude other things. That goes to the Who song, Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss. That's not progress. Progress isn't that I get to turn this around and I get to be on the upper hand. Progress is inclusion. And the new revolutionaries, I call them the Neo-Maos, may have their ideas about separation. But they can say, I disagree with the words of Lift Every Voice and Sing. Or they have the right to say, I disagree with Dr. King's words in what's known as the I Have a Dream speech. What you can't do is co-opt them and say that's part of this, because it's not true. It's as far away from this particular movement of erasing history, going to the year zero, has nothing to do with Dr. King, has nothing to do with this song known as the Black National Anthem, and has everything to do with thousands of years of way people acted, but since Marx wrote it down, was it 1860 or something that he wrote his stuff down? So it's been a bit over 100 years that we've had these Marxist ideals. I'm not telling you what you should believe, but I am telling you that 2 + 2 = 4, and what revolutionaries are talking about now, the fact that that has nothing to do with Dr. King or this song known as the Black National Anthem, that's as true as 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't matter how old I am, what my race is, just an objective mind can look at these two things and see they're not the same. So you have, if you are one of the Neo-Maos, the revolutionaries in the streets today, you intellectually, it's America, anybody can say whatever they want for the most part, get away with it, but intellectually, being sound, being taken seriously, you cannot say that we are co-opting or in any way a part of what Dr. King's dream was, or I had the writer of this song just a moment ago. I had it right in front of me because I wanted to Augusta Savage. No, that's a different person. You know, when I look for things and I have to read them, then it gets very, very difficult for me. But I'm going to find it. James Weldon Johnson and his brother put the music to it. This was a dream of inclusion. The dream that I'm seeing from the streets today is more about exclusion. You can argue your point. You can say, well, inclusion wasn't good enough, and now I want to go in this more militant direction. But you should be forced to argue the point. You can't just put on somebody else's hat, act completely differently, and say, no, I'm the guy who wore the hat the first time around. All right, what's in the news? I can hear you typing away over there, Jared Yamamoto.
Well, I was looking at I was going through the history lesson there, too. I was following along with you there. So
what page are we on?
We are on page 42. It's going to be an open book test.
Open book? Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Why was there ever an open book test? The teacher just doesn't want to grade papers.
Yep.
Open your books. How is that a test? I never really quite understood
it. It's actually not as good.
It's not as good.
Think, like, I feel like I was always excited about open book tests because I'm lazy, but yeah. I usually would spend more time searching for the answer that I kind of already knew was correct, and then I wouldn't be able to answer all the things. Maybe I would have gotten a better grade.
No, you start questioning yourself, whereas if you didn't have the book, you just got to go with what you think you know.
Right.
Good point. We solved a lot of problems here. Do you have an open before that? Did you have an open mic you wanted to get to before we get to?
Yeah, I got a couple
headlines.
Of them. This during Greg Russ's segment during a Tech Tuesday, we talked about Dragon Con and it being canceled, and our lovely couple here, they were talking beforehand, and one of the open micers noticed something that was going on during that segment.
Whoever added that Twitch subscribe sound, I don't think anyone appreciated that. Thank you.
Well, you did. So are you saying that you're not a someone? This guy has self-esteem issues. He noticed it. Then he gets out and says, I don't think anyone noticed it. You, sir, are a person, and you're a somebody. Thanks. So you noticed it, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, he's kind of cute. Oh, cool. We got a subscriber.
Are you sure? I thought that was him. I didn't realize that was a Twitch sounder. What does that mean? I like what you're, because this generation, I can't just do what I'm gonna do and then walk away. I need for you to pat me on the back constantly and tell me how much you love me all the time.
What's wrong with that?
Sometimes for a certain sometimes for a certain amount of coins, they'll ask the user to do something. So, like, especially for the lady users, they'll ask them to do, obviously, it's a pass to be appropriate.
In the Me Too-ism, in the Me Too era, we still get this going on from, oh my goodness, that must be old rednecks that are on Twitch. No?
How does, Put a shoe on your head, stupid.
How in the world is this possible when most of the people on Twitch are young and of the generation that's so much better than any other generation before them?
Gigi
and you tell
boy.
Me that. Yes,
Gigi Boy 89 wants me to take off my socks. Okay. I guess.
Can you sniff them for me?
Oh. Sure. I guess. I mean, well, they're pretty stinky. So.
Yeah, I'll give you $100 if you mail them to me. Don't wash them.
What is wrong with this world? People used to read books and such.
I'm reading.
All right, give me a story.
How to get chicks on Twitter to send you their socks. It's available at Amazon.
Very good. Write a nice review for it, sir.
All right. President Trump said he's done with Fox News after the network on Sunday showed him trailing Joe Biden in the polls.
All right, wait a minute. You get the headline I have, Trump rage quits. Wow. Are you in a rage?
I rage quit. I said, the heck with them. They're not my friends anymore.
Did you, like, were you breaking windows at the Oval Office? And, like, this idea of rage.
I smashed my phone. I threw it in the john, flushed it away.
You know, I'm going to get into Trump. He's not going to stop. He picks more fights. Does he really need to be picking a fight with Fox News on the way to a re-election try in November? Like, there's a concept. You're not going to love everybody all the time, but if you're running for office, you need to have your allies with you and then clearly define yourself against those that would try to usurp you. He's fighting with his own party. He's not having his convention where they were going to have it. He wakes up every morning needing a new fight, as if, while the rest of us are completely stressed out about everything that's coming at us in America, this guy can't get enough. Tabula rasa. Going back to something I was talking about earlier, that's how I think people are born. Tabula rasa. So, you, Cy, upset somebody because...
Yes, you did.
I was bragging that this show has put a second, not one, a second talk radio station out of business. And somebody got mad at me. But
yes, John said, it's sad that you will bash Ben Shapiro, but you're the coward that won't do Obama voice. Are you going to quit doing Trump? No! Cowards!
I want to point out two things here. One is you were able to hear me talk about the fact that I put them out of business, which means you were listening to me. Right. And also, secondly, this cowardly strategy, radio strategy that I've embarked upon, apparently is working because I'm on the air in Atlanta and Ben Shapiro is no longer on the air in Atlanta.
Well, Ben Shapiro, you can get my podcast. I do a daily podcast. In fact, you can
I do
a weekend podcast. You can get my name is Ben Shapiro and I'm
over
there in the whole thing. If you don't, you can follow me on Twitter.
You ain't got no funny. Crack a joke every once in a while. I'm sure there was a lot of funny voices on that Ben Shapiro show.
Hi, I'm Ben Shapiro. Listen to me doing a faster version of Sean Hannity.
Slow down. I think that Ben Shapiro's a smart guy, and he gets, you know, the idea that he's some sort of white supremacist when he's basically an Orthodox Jew is absurd. You know, he gets a lot of stuff that he doesn't deserve. But look, it's not podcasting. Radio is still an entertainment medium. This is what people don't seem to understand. Yes.
Eric, John Ossoff here.
Yes, we don't allow...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to explain, we do not allow Tim Andrews, a white man, to do Obama's voice anymore because, you know, the world that we live in. But whenever Obama has a message for us, he sends John Ossoff with that message.
I just wanted to say, former President Obama texted me and he said, hey John, get him to knock off the okey-doke. So I said...
You want me to knock off the okey-doke, or was Ben Shapiro the knocked off?
I mean, we understand. And look. Anyway.
Thank you, John Ossoff. So we,
he gets
you know,
stuck.
Listen,
you know, he's like a jukebox. Yeah, kick him a little bit.
He forgets who his influences are sometimes because Ossoff has never had an original idea on his own. It's always, he had one original idea. He was like 9 years old. He was combing his hair, looked in the mirror and thought, you should be in politics. That's about the extent of it.
You know what? You're not far off. And all the CIA influence in my family, they're the people who got me to run for this seat.
So you see, while it is true that Tim Andrews is no longer allowed to do the Obama voice because of the world we live in, John Obama always gets in touch with John Ossoff, and Tim Andrews, of course, can do John Ossoff's voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You got any stories for me?
Well, before we went to the break, we were talking about this Trump rage with him on Fox News.
And, he smashed out all the windows.
I like to rally around the family with a pocket full of shells.
Oh, yeah, you're raging against the machine, are you?
Rallying around the family with a pocket full of shells, okay. Trump on parade, I'm raging.
He's raging. You know, his whole thing is he's picking a fight with Fox News. Fox News gladly puts up, this is his, do you have it in front of you, Mr. President? I can do it, but not in your voice.
I don't have it in front of me. I'll find
Fox News gladly puts up the phony suppression polls as soon as they come out. He means all of them. We are leading in the real polls because people are sick and tired of watching the Democrat run cities. I think he meant that to be a plural, but I don't know.
Just one.
In
all just cases, one Democrat.
Is it one guy who's in charge of
just
all
one
of
guy,
the cities?
Joe Biden, he's running every city in the country. All these mayors auditioning to be the vice president. Well, look, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. I'm tired of Fox News and their fake polls. That's why you need to go O-A-N-N. O-A-N-N.
But you didn't cite any real polls. You just said real polls, but you didn't cite any of them.
Well,
like,
I got
go
a friend
see
named
this
Jerry.
Song.
He's been asking people who you're going to vote for. And 9-1, they're all saying Trump. Okay, my friend Jerry does the best polls. They're informal, but it works.
This guy Jared here or Jerry?
Jerry, not Jared Yamamoto. I wouldn't trust him to do a poll.
Yeah, he's too. Wow,
he's
thank
part
you,
of the
Price.
Mainstream media, is he not?
He is. He's a liar. Fake Jared.
I don't. I think that the polls are probably getting it right now. In reality, if you want to be objective and take off your uniform for a moment, no matter which side you're on, I think it's a good possibility that the Democrats are peaking way too soon. I don't think America's going to respond well to another 3 months of being told every time they tune into an athletic competition or anything, what a horrible country they're a part of. That's, you know, you can overplay any hand. That's a 2+2=4 fact that has nothing to do with the individual. You can overplay any hand. You know, it's not going to be, some people think that I'm being inconsistent by saying that, you know, I'm not watching one NBA game from the bubble. I'm not every day going to tune in to be lectured to by millionaires. And if you add the ownership, billionaires, about how I need to change my behavior in my life. You know what? It really comes down to this. Don't let anyone convince you that it's not enough that you've simply lived a good life and been good to people. That is absurd. If you have lived a good life and you have been good to people, you are a good person. Do not let sociology professors and their minions, meaning any student they've ever had that bought their nonsense, convince you that they know why academically you're not the good person that you've always thought you were. No, in reality, life isn't easy, but sometimes it's simple, and the concepts are simple to grasp. If you've lived a life where you've been good to people for the most part through most of your life, no matter who those people are, you're a good person. Don't let someone who's going to lord it over you high and mighty that they are in possession of a degree that you don't have, that they can convince you why you don't know you're not as good as you think you are. There's a lot of evil types of people in this world. They're easy to find. It's not subtle. If you've lived a life where you've basically been good to the people around you, you're a good person. No need to enroll and become certified in finding out why you actually weren't a good person. That doesn't exist. It is nonsense. Everything that you hear or read isn't legitimate simply because it's out there to be heard or read. You need to have a mind that can take in this data, accept what is real, and reject what isn't real. And what isn't real is that people who have lived a good life and been good to the people around them and whoever they've come in contact with, that's what's not debatable is whether or not they're good people. They're good people. Don't buy into this concept that if you're not a revolutionary, you're in favor of everything bad happening to people. This concept of everyone is a revolutionary, you hear anti-American a lot. Usually it's not used for the right reason. That's anti-American. We don't live in a society like that, where everyone is a revolutionary. We live in a society where most people wake up, go to work, try to make their lives better. Does it work out for everyone? No. I'd like to see the country where it has, by the way, in history, worked out for everyone. If this country is going to be judged by that standard, I'd like for someone to point to the country where, in history, ever, where everyone did well. So that's not a standard. That's an impossible thing that you can be duped into really bad governance based on the fact that what you have now isn't perfect. There's no perfection. So do not allow yourself to be convinced that if you are, and by the way, if you see one single NBA player wearing something like silence equals death, ask them what they're doing while the Chinese government, who they are working with and supporting, is subjugating free people all around the world, 20 African nations. What are you doing over there, LeBron? Hey, what's going on? Hey, NBA. Did you see that, you're enabling a dictator to subjugate 20 African nations. What's going on over there, NBA? And some people, as I started this, think, well, it's not, there's no continuity to this because you're saying you're going to maybe watch the NFL if they're going to do some stuff. The NFL is not making billions and billions and billions of dollars off of China while they take the time to lecture me about human rights. So although it can be annoying, my strategy with the NFL is I will tune in just as we're about to kick off. I realized years ago, even as a fan, I don't need pregames. I don't know what it is about fans. You just want to hear if they pick your team. And you get so excited at 12:30 in the afternoon. All four guys picked our team to win. And how often have you watched that game and those four guys were wrong? You see, it turns out it doesn't matter who picks what. They play a game. Things happen, and your team either wins or loses, so there's really no need for that. Yes, Jared?
Yeah, the worst is when they say your field goal kicker's been kicking 55 or 60-yard goals in the pregame, then the game comes down to that field goal, and they miss! Yeah. They miss it! Hey, no!
You know the difference when they were kicking it 60 yards during pregame? No one was in the stands, and there were no stakes.
Right.
This is a completely different situation when if he makes it, you go to the Super Bowl. If he misses it, you don't. That's a completely different situation than making it from 60 yards during pregame. So I've pretty much written off pregames anyway. And it's silly. I can't believe how many years I did. I was so into football. I would start at like 9 in the morning watching pregame shows all the way up and through. And then I realized it has no effect on the actual game. So really, having people tell me what they think is going to happen in a game, absolutely worthless. After a game, having people analyze what went wrong for one team and what went right for the other one, that has some sense to it. But the idea that it's 3 hours of Nostradamus before the game begins, there's absolutely nothing to that anyway. So that is why I'm harsher on the NBA. And it's making me easier to give up on the NBA because, after all, I mean, I love Trae Young, but what are the odds that the Hawks are actually going to put the pieces around him? My feeling about Trae Young is he's probably going to help a team win a championship one day. The odds of that team being the Hawks are very slim. Like, are they not going to mess this up as well, where this young man somewhere about 5 years into his career will look around and go, okay, I'm not getting any younger, and this team's not getting any better, so I need to probably get out of here. So even that, they're probably going to mess that up anyway. But the NBA will not have their feet held to the fire on this. The NBA is enabling China. The NBA is playing Sun City. And I'm sorry, millennials, you have to look it up. History is more than your lifetime. But the NBA right now is Linda Ronstadt going to South Africa while Nelson Mandela is in prison and playing Sun City. It is exactly.
I don't know who any of those people are.
All right, listen, let me make my point. It is exactly the same thing. Exactly. No difference. The NBA right now, in terms of China, is Linda Ronstadt going to South Africa playing Sun City while Nelson Mandela is in jail. Boy, you held her feet to the fire. Why aren't we holding LeBron's feet to the fire? I think that means we're coming back. Jared Yamamoto.
Yes.
I believe the person who called me a coward has gotten in touch once again.
Yes. They
left
another
face. Is it a he? I'm assuming it's a he.
His name is John, and he left another Facebook message. He said,
"Likely story, John."
He said, after he left his comment, he said, "By the way, the only thing saving this show is that Autumn is still a smoking beauty."
Woo! Yeah,
that's Autumn, right, baby.
Autumn on the main stage, ladies and gentlemen, or just gentlemen, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Autumn
you
on
like
the main stage.
Ladies with two kids and 20 pounds overweight.
I love stretch marks.
Yeah, you like these stretch marks? You want to see my stretch marks, baby? They go all the way down.
Like that's a roadmap right, gentlemen. To erotica.
All right, is that George W. Bush? All right,
no, it's not me. I'm in Midland right now.
All right, let her know how you feel about her, gentlemen. Ooh, let's open up those wallets.
Can we pause the music?
Sorry, there's a chain shortage.
I need to sit down.
Okay, hold on. She's a little out of breath, gentlemen. So we're going to take a little break here and come back to Autumn, smoking hot on the main stage. All right, sounds good to me. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Then did another person wanted to let me know that apparently Ossoff sounds a lot like Obama.
Yes, Brian on Twitter, he tweeted Tim and myself, and he said, Eric does know that John Ossoff sounds a lot like a white President Obama, right?
Now, this guy's a good fan, huh?
He is a super
so
fan.
So I need to be gentle here. Okay. All right. I didn't know that. It's not the whole premise of the whole thing. It's okay. I'm not going to get angry. Sometimes you get a little ahead of the audience. The important thing is not to get too far ahead, right? Is that the important? You do want to lead a little bit, right? You don't want to get behind the audience.
You don't want to turn around and not see your audience with you.
You see, that's John Ossoff, because Tim Andrews is John allowed Ossoff, to do John but Ossoff because he's white. He's not
Wait,
allowed to
what?
Do Barack Obama. So
I don't think
therefore,
I'm getting this.
Anytime Obama has a message for the show, he sends John Ossoff, and Tim Andrews can let us know what John Ossoff wants us to know from Barack Obama, correct?
So look, when you are a guy that's running for Senate and you got the ear of the ex-president, there's nothing you can't do.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Autumn on the main stage? I think she's gotten her breath.
Can you break a tube?
I swear to God, that's an ex-president.
Let me take off this 10-year-old bra. It's got a couple holes in it, perfect for, you know.
Hold on, somebody, there's a mask on that guy, but I think he used to be a president of the United States.
I never used to be anything other than what I am, and it's always been a guy.
He likes the ladies. Could have had a couple of kids over on the main stage. I know we're supposed
Who's
to do some other things.
I know there's some yellow cake in there.
Don't want
I'm
to.
I'm hungry.
You know how strippers all have their little thing? Autumn walks out with a bucket of KFC and just gets all greasy in front of
what
me.
What you
some
like, original
like
recipe?
See, somebody, yeah. Some
you got any
extra like
crispy?
You know it, baby.
I'm telling you, I recognize that voice. I know you're hidden behind a mask, but I feel like I've
familiar.
Heard.
Familiar.
Yeah.
Looks like Fallujah down there.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of experience there? Have you been?
I've sent a lot of people there.
Yeah?
I mean, I've never been there.
You must be really successful.
I'm pardoned a turkey.
All right, you two. Social distance from one another. Before we're done, you know, we're not going to be on at noon. But today is a special day because my favorite Beatle, the one who wrote all the good songs, Ringo Starr, turns 80 years of age today. And they're doing like a show tonight that's virtual or something.
8 o'clock tonight, yes, on YouTube.
It's some kind of virtual thing. I can see more millionaire rock stars singing out of their living room. Boy, I can't get enough of that. So there's that. But at noon, he wants everybody at noon to say, what is it you want us to say? Peace and, what is it, Ringo?
Peace and love, peace and love. Shout out your window. I don't care if you're at work or if you're at church or you're at a wedding. Just stop what you're doing and yell peace and love.
Ringo, have you thought about the fact that you're asking for another? Well, it's one thing to ask for one thing. Peace, okay, that's easy. But love, I mean, how many, this is a lot. Two things, peace and
you
love.
You can't have love without peace.
Well, then why can't you just say one and sort of imply the other? But no, you're asking that we all say peace. And do we have to hold up the peace sign like you do with your two fingers?
It
every
would
time
be
you
helpful
do it?
Unless peace you don't have love. A hand.
It's like all Ringo says anymore. It's like
peace
it's
and
just,
love.
Yeah, I think that we'll
don't
never
send me fan mail and peace yeah. and love.
Even that was years ago. Like, I think it's going to be one of those things where nobody will notice if Ringo, he looks great and he sounds great in interviews. He seems all there at 80. But if he started to lose it, I don't think that people would really know because for the most part, he just walks into a room and goes, peace and love, peace and love, peace and love.
Where's my fee? Thank you. Peace and love, peace and love.
If he starts losing it, I guess he'll walk into a room, hatred, and
vitriol and hate, vitriol and hate.
That's a, well, I think there's something wrong with Ringo.
Vitriol and hate.
He's upside down. So because he is my favorite Beatle, why? Because he's the Beatle who wrote all the great songs, Ringo Starr, I will end this show a little differently, and we'll all say peace and love at the end of the show, right? Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Love
is,
it.
Is somebody yes. against it? I don't know. It sounds
I
like somebody
peaceful,
maybe.
And I love that idea.
Well, first of all, you're all about the peace and love. Autumn over on the main stage, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you want a piece of my love?
Yeah, she dropped two pups, but she's that's willing right. to take you on as their next family member.
No, C-section ain't that expensive.
Excuse me, a guy who was never a president of the United States.
I think it's covered by Obamacare.
All right. Well, that music tells me that we have vamped enough.
Oh, man.
We have come to the end. And I just want to say, it's important every once in a while to just open your window. We have to be 2 minutes early with our Ringo Starr thing. And I'm not quite there yet. The very end. First, I want to let people know that I signed another one-day contract. It's worth over $1 million. It says I'll come in and do a show tomorrow morning. So I'm going to be here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. You're all invited to join us. But until then, we have a message for everyone listening. All together now. All together now.
All together
peace
now.
Peace and love.
Love.
Peace and love, my brothers and sisters, and anything else you identify with.
Play them.
Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.